know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. You can hit the link in our description right now if you want to support the show, keep these episodes coming out, and pre-order your copy of the best game in the world. But in the meantime, you can listen to this episode with myself, Mo Moonsi, the dynamic duo, Mr. Scott Perry, Mr. BJ Armstrong. How you guys doing?
Doing well today, Mo. How about you?
Yeah, I can't complain. Got a fresh cut. This is a good day, you know what I'm saying? I got a flight booked, I got a fresh cut. You know, there's workplace to be. I'm living. How about you, BJ? You quiet today?
I'm just watching. I'm just an observer of human beings. I'm just an observer, a quiet observer.
Now, an interesting quote, BJ, you just sent to our little group chat. Yeah, that's right. We do have a group chat. I've got BJ using WhatsApp. He knows how to use it now. You sent in a quote. It was Isaiah Thomas reacting to something Anthony Edwards said. Anthony Edwards says, they say it was tougher back then than it is now, obviously referencing previous generations of the NBA. And he said, I don't think anybody had skill back then. Michael Jordan was the only one that really had skill. You know what I mean? So that's why when they saw Kobe Bryant, they were like, oh my God. But now everybody had skill. And that's the quote that's gone around and everyone's reacting to. But what's important is before he said that, he said, I didn't watch it back then, so I can't speak on it. But then he proceeded to speak on it. BJ, as someone who has now been described as Anthony Edwards as a player who didn't have skill, what's your reaction to this?
Well, you know, Mo, I really don't have any reaction to it. Because no one has been a bigger advocate of the game of basketball globally, all around the world. No one has been a bigger advocate of the game being pushed, move forward, and the advancement of the game, the facilities, the way the game is played, so forth and so on. So I take that responsibility. I take it with, I feel very responsible for moving the game forward and moving it to the next generation and passing it off and so that the next generation will take it and move it forward and keep passing it on. So, you know, one thing that, you know, growing up in the city of Detroit, which you guys hear me talk about, I refer back often, is you learn a lot of lessons. And you learn a lot of lessons before you get to a moment like being able to play professionally. There was a level of respect that Scott and I, both being from Detroit, we had an opportunity to reach out and touch and watch a player like George Gervin, for instance, who's from Detroit. We had an opportunity to watch and touch Irving Magic Johnson and John Long and Terry Tyler and Dave Bing and, you know, the Oscar Robertsons. And Scott and I, in our professional careers, our paths crossed the late Bill Russell. We crossed Wilt Chamberlain. We crossed Earl Monroe and Clyde Frazier, and I played against Larry Bird, and we saw Julius Erving. The list goes on and on and on. You know, Spencer Haywood, okay, for instance. You know, these gentlemen that I'm, and there's countless others, they share the information so that we can take the torch and move the game forward. You know, I've committed my life's work to not falling victim to the following philosophy, divide and conquer. As you know, Anthony Edwards is one of my favorite players, as you know, Mo. Yeah, we know. Audience. And Scott has heard me talk about this young man. Steve Smith, if Anthony Edwards is listening, he knows what that name would mean to him down in Georgia.
Absolutely.
From Detroit.
Okay. So, who, by the way, was a very skilled basketball player.
Yes. Okay. We refer to him as Smitty, but we'll call him by Steve Smith. Okay. Shout out to Smitty. All right. So, you know, there's a theme in this generation where Scott and I, whenever we talk to the younger generation, they refer to us as the OGs. Hey, OG. Hey. So we take that very serious because when we grew up, when the OGs talked, we listened. And we weren't doing this in the media. When they spoke to us, they spoke to us as men because they wanted to share us with some information to carry it on and move it on. So I'm not going to fall victim to this divide and conquer. I'm not going to hear, but I will say this. I'm going to choose silence here. It's because we are committed to the game and the people that love the game as much as we do. And I'm going to use this as an example for us of why we love the game and why we will continue to move forward and why we will continue to share our knowledge. This isn't, about me. It's not about being right. It's not about being wrong. But everything that's gotten me to this point, individually, collectively, is because of the people that was before me. And I want to give that same respect. And for better or for worse, I really know Michael Jordan. I'm not talking about the player. Like, I know the person. And Mo, you never hear me talk about my relationships. You never hear me talk about people that I know. I'm not, because there's the media and then there's people. So I will say this. There is no response. But I will say the following is that hopefully we, this generation, would take stewardship to move the game forward, to pass it on to the next generation. Because that's how this goes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when you look at the game and how the game is played, you know, I have yet to have seen any pickup game in the world in my 56 years where guys are just running to the three-point line to shoot threes. That's not how the game is played naturally. You could go to any park in the world. Guys are going to be trying to get to that basket and do things and play a brand of basketball. So the rules and all of these things, let's not get sidetracked about the business and what the business is. And the reason I say that is because the game grew in popularity because of how the game was played in many urban communities throughout the world, not just here in the United States, throughout the world. And I have yet to see anyone naturally play the game the way the game looks currently today. Okay, that's what it is. So let's continue to grow. Let's continue to hear. I know that will probably, you know, and what was said there in the media, but for better or for worse, we have a bigger responsibility, and that's to the game and the people that play the game and the opportunities. Not only is done as that who have the opportunity to play professionally, but what is done for people and allowing them to gain education, experience, grow, and make a livelihood because of it. So, but that's years of experience. So I'm just hoping to move the game forward and continue to move the game forward for the next generation of young people, men and women, boys and girls that play this game.
Scott, what was your reaction to what Anthony Edwards said?
There's a couple of thoughts I just want to add. First off, I'm going to start off, and I've said it a number of times on the show and other broadcasts, what a fan I am of Anthony Edwards in terms of his game, in terms of his approach. You know, he was one of the young guys that, I don't know, sometime earlier this year, early part of the season, was advocating for playing 82 games, the importance of it. That's our job. You know, that's old school. But I'm glad you told me that before that tweet, what was left out of that tweet was saying that he really had no knowledge of what came before. He had really not watched players before. He obviously is familiar with Michael Jordan because, you know, you can just go to any social media channel and you will see highlights and clips of Michael Jordan. And obviously he was awesome and those highlights are awesome. So I'm going to say that I'm going to, you know, say to Anthony Edwards, who obviously has a, you know, student of the game. And BJ mentioned Steve Smith was a guy who I know who met this young man and was supportive of him and helpful to him in the early parts of his journey there in Atlanta. Go back and do your homework. Go back and watch the game. Because that statement is not becoming of who he wants to be and becoming the game. He wants to be, people are talking about who's going to be the next face of the game. All right. And if he wants to be the face of the game currently, to be, he can't look back 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, how many years you want to look at and just disregard the talent level. See, I would, and I would say this from a basketball, so what it rises in me as I watch the game today. Going back years 30, 40, 50 years ago when the game was first introduced years ago, 70-some years ago, 80 years ago by Dr. Naismith, the game was always rooted in fundamentals. Passing, dribbling, shooting. There was a lot of technique. There was a lot of... So those are the skills related to basketball. Now, what I do think happens as we move forward and we get into this current generation now, the emphasis on quote-unquote athleticism, and that sometimes gets mistaken for skill level. Yeah, do we see 1 through 15 guys can jump and twirl in the air 360 and do, do all kinds of things with their body athletically? And that's not to say that there weren't great athletes in my era, because there were some phenomenal athletes, but just by and large, even this, if you just look 1 through 15, you could probably make a case and argument just running and jumping, today's athlete is probably a little faster.
You could do that in any sport, higher
on average,
in the world.
That's football, we talk about track. Yeah, you go back to the fastest man in the world, Jesse Owens had the record for years, been having fastest 100 time. And then it just started, each generation was passing it because that bar was set. But that's athleticism. Skill and athleticism, two different things. And I would just encourage Anthony Edwards and all those in this generation, trying to understand where the game was and how it's evolved and where it's at today, really go back and study it. And so that's what I saw, a lot of young guys just don't know. And to his credit, I guess he said that in the very beginning, I didn't watch, I didn't see, I didn't know. And when obviously he pulled the greatest name that he could pull out, Michael Jordan, as the guy with skills. But that skill game, we can go down the list.
Here's my thing with players being skilled. Okay, when people hear the word skilled, all they think about is dribbling. When people are like, Kyrie Irving's the most skilled player ever because they're just looking at ball handling. There are so many skills in the game of basketball that are more than dribbling. For example, you watch the NBA now. How many players know how to defend post-ups correctly? You watch the NBA now. How many times do you even see screens being set properly? You watch the NBA, guys are walking up, they're not even setting the screen, the defense is automatically switching, and so setting great screens is a skill. Guarding the post is a skill. But these are things that no one talks about when they're discussing the most skilled players of all time. Right. They just assume dribbling and shooting mid-range pull-ups is skilled.
To my point, the fundamentals of the game, those are skills of the game. So those are my two cents on the whole situation. And again, hopefully it will be a learning moment for Anthony Edwards.
BJ, you were going to say something before I jumped in. What were you going to say?
No, the fundamentals of the game never change. The fundamentals never change. And even in this generation, this generation will say, and you've heard this generation say this for years and years, Kobe Bryant, the late Kobe Bryant, was the closest player to Michael Jordan. Right? And then we say, well, like when the old generation saw Kobe Bryant, we were like, and ooh and ah. No, the fundamentals of the game never change. Now, style may change, Okay. Believe it or not, there was Connie Hawkins. There was Elgin Baylor. There was Spencer Haywood. There was David Thompson, Larry Nance. There were athletes playing this game. Julius Erving that were playing this game.
Dominique. Oh, no,
As
no
the
question.
rules have evolved, the players, which are phenomenal athletes, they adapt to the rules of the game. Everyone adapt. But what translates from each generation has been the same skill set, the fundamentals, whether they were playing in the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, the 70s, the fundamentals of the game haven't changed. The way you win a game hasn't changed. The style has changed. Maybe the perception has changed. The rules have changed. But having a fundamental base, Kobe Bryant, like Michael Jordan before him, like Larry Bird, like Oscar Robertson, all had mastered the fundamentals of the game. Now it's important to bring your creativity to that to move the game forward in real time. So the fundamentals have to be in place to take advantage of this skill. Skill without fundamentals is just a skill set. You still have to master the game. In order to master the game, you got to compete, you got to win, and then the game should be entertaining. It should be entertaining. Magic Johnson and these guys made it entertaining. That when you go to a game and you watch today's great players, hey, you'll see something, and that's what makes it great. You'll see an ooh and ah or whatever to get. When you watch Wembanyama, for instance, it's entertaining. When you watch Steph Curry, that's entertaining. But Steph Curry will tell you the fundamentals of shooting has been the same since the beginning. He's just brought his own creative way of looking at it to master the art of shooting and taking it to a space that we frankly haven't seen to this degree yet. But the fundamentals of shooting are still in place, which Reggie Miller did, Ray Allen did it, Dale Ellis did it, Chris Mullin did it. Mark Price did it. There's been a lot of players. He's just brought his own creative space to the fundamentals of that particular skill set, which will never change. And then, believe it or not, there will be another player who will take it to another level. Because that's where the game should be. It should continue to evolve.
And just to add, Steph Curry had a great fundamental teacher early in life. People tend to forget his dad, Dale Curry,
Oh man,
was an
I played with
excellent
Dale.
shooter. Exactly, was an excellent shooter.
I played. This is a true story. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a true story. Scott Perry was shooting at that distance in the 70s. We just didn't know what he was doing, Mo. Mo, now this is true. No, seriously, Scott would always shoot with distance, and we didn't even. There was no three-point line.
It wasn't a 3-point line. No, it wasn't.
He was doing this, Mo.
Hey.
We didn't even know what he was doing. Mo, I think Scott and I sent you Terry Durod was doing a step back move in the 70s, and we didn't even know what it was called. We've been seeing things. We just didn't, there was no word for it. We didn't know a step back. We just said that, hey, that's what do. That's what do. Like, what is that? I don't know, but do got this move that Scott was shooting with distance. We didn't even know what it was. Man, this dude is crazy, man. Why he shoot? I don't know, man. Who knows? So, Bo, finally somebody came around and there was a three-point line that evolved, and suddenly he started doing it, and then we put a name to it. But believe it or not, Mo, people have been doing this and countless others. It's just the timing and marketing and all the things have to come along at the
Absolutely.
right time.
And social media has added so much to this now because it's just, you know, always a debate, always something every single hour.
Scott, by the way, why were you shooting? I've never asked, why were you shooting? Why did you do that?
I want to know who was guarding the paint that Scott didn't want to go up against to get in that.
So you get thrown to the ground, you mean? No, I wasn't worried about getting thrown to the ground. I don't know. I just liked it. Sometimes to be going in there and maneuvering against all these other people, well, I knew I could get a shot off. I guess when I was younger, I knew, you know what, Beach, I always tried to play up. So like when I would go to camps, I remember going to St. Cecilia's camp. Sam had a camp. Right. And they put me with the sixth, seventh, and eighth graders. I think I was in like seventh grade, rising into the eighth grade. And sort of, and then they had the high school guys. They had on one end, all the guys from Northern. It was good players there in high school. They went on to play in college. And I went through the first day. And after the first day, I went to Sam Washington. And I said, Mr. Washington, I said, I'm not going to get any better if I just stay at my grade level. I want to play up with the old guys, the guys that are juniors and seniors in high school. So, you know, he looked at me, said, all right. And he let me play the rest of the week. I did that. And I think probably, because, you know, those guys were a little stronger, a little faster at that time, you know, figuring out how I could get some shots off. It was easy to get the shot off. a little deeper.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's where
And as I got stronger, I just held on to it. That's all.
That's where the name Parking Lot Perry comes from.
Exactly.
There you go. I've never asked Scott was doing this, and it was just kind of like, that's just Scott's game. You know, he didn't get more points, so we was like, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Scott was just shooting from distance. You know, it wasn't like there was no 3-point line. So there everybody was no just need looking. you know,
that's funny. He's taking me a long way back, Mo. Long way back.
Well, I want to take you back to something you said earlier in this episode, where you said Anthony Edwards is trying to be the new face of the NBA. I want to ask you both: once LeBron, Steph, and KD retire, who will be the face of the NBA in your opinions?
Complicated question because, obviously you have some great players that are here already when you talk about the Joker, Jokic, 3-time MVP, who has the game to take it over, but maybe doesn't have the whole personality thing that's needed to represent the entire league. You know, Luka Doncic is, a guy who, top talent league, you know, plays with a little flair, has a little pizzazz to him. But I think we historically, when we look at the NBA, and, you know, Giannis, another tremendous talent and player. Historically, when we talk face of the league, we're saying it, but without saying it a lot of times, it's normally a player from the U.S.,
Does that apply to Victor Wembanyama?
I'm gonna get there, and it's going to. That's what it's been historically, because again, the NBA, even though it's a global game now, no doubt, and it's evidenced by, 35% of the league are international players now. But still, the bread is still buttered for the NBA still here in the United States. You know, because it's still all the teams are located here in the United States. So the kids growing up in Memphis or LA or Detroit, New York, you name the city or the small town, what's resonating with them, their story is normally going to be somebody that they've seen, in their neighborhood or heard about from their neighborhood or who they could become one day. So, with that being said, now Victor Wembanyama may be able to quote unquote break that ceiling, if you will, and be the first international guy to do that. But that would depend on how relatable he becomes to the fan base, just as you listen to him interview and all that. But he's He's 7'5". So he's one of those guys. He's such an anomaly. You know, little kids watching the game, who's going to grow up and be 7'5"? That's how, you know, this not, it's just like BJ can tell you in the shoe sales, normally your guards or a small forward have a chance to sell more shoes because it's more relatable to the public. So with all that being said, you know, I look at Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum now will be interesting to see. He would be the other one because he's a champion now. If Jason Tatum could come back, and I know we've talked about the Olympic situation for him, and you know, so that didn't help his cause to becoming the face of the league from the American perspective. But if the Celtics can run through the league again this year and become champions, is that going to be
I don't think he has the popularity amongst the fans. Yeah, he may not find a way to criticize him.
And you know what? And it was going to lead me to my last point. The true face of the league may not even be in the league yet.
Valid. Valid. BJ, what are your thoughts?
You know, I love the game. And I study this. And I've had the fortune to work with the player. I have a criteria for this. And the criteria is the following. In order to be what I would consider the face of the league, right? There's the basketball. You must master the sport. And what do you have to master? You must master the fundamentals of every aspect of the game. You must master the sport. The modern day athlete who mastered the sport, not just as an offensive player or just as a defensive player. Okay, you can argue that the late Bill Russell mastered the art on the defensive end, and his impact on the defensive end goes without saying. And then there's other players that have mastered the art of scoring the basketball on the offensive end. There's been players who became what I consider ushered in another era of the game, which was the hybrid player. They did a little bit of everything. That was Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. They might have not been the best in the sense of every aspect of the game, but the hybrid player, a la Jokic, you can argue that their influence on the game is as high as it's ever been. LeBron James' influence as a hybrid player, in my opinion, because LeBron does a little bit of every aspect of the game. I played with the player who did that, Scottie Pippen. What will the face of the league look like? I think the face of the league has to do the following. That player has to capture the imagination of the audience and the people that play it. The people that actually play the game, they aren't fans of the game. They will only respect the fundamentals of the game because they know how difficult it is. Like, for instance, we could talk about this young woman, Caitlin Clark. There were a lot of questions before she entered into the WNBA. The fans were like, oh, wow, she's going to be this. And the people who play the game, the players, the coaches, and former players, they were looking at it like, okay, let's see. And you can see now in her, whatever, 25 games or so that she's played, she clearly has a fundamental base of the game that's allowed her to navigate this role where she's actually capturing the imagination of the fans who watch the game from afar and the people who actually play it. She's fundamentally now captured the imagination of the audience of women's basketball. What will this player look like? Derrick Rose, for instance, current client still, but a player who is in year, 16 or 17. At one point, he captured the imagination of the audience. He had a window there where he captured the imagination for a smaller guard in this league that you just kind of wanted to see, and a style that he brought to the game that you hadn't seen before. You've seen a lot of players. You've seen a lot of great small players. We saw Isaiah Thomas. We saw Allen Iverson. We saw Steve Nash. But we hadn't seen a player with this level of the way he played. I mean, he was fearless. The way he drove to the basket, size, strength, the way he was contorting his body to lay it up and do the things. And by the way, he was winning. They were getting to like the Eastern Conference Finals. So Wembanyama is a fascinating study because of what Scott mentioned, his size. I don't know how you can relate to a 7'5 guy, but all I know is when I took my youngest son, 8 years old, to watch Victor Wembanyama play, for 2.5 hours, I owe this to Victor Wembanyama. My son did not move, did not ask for a hot dog, popcorn. He sat there and watched Victor Wembanyama for 2.5 hours. And my wife and I, we stood there in complete silence because he did not want to miss anything. He didn't want to go to the bathroom. He wanted to watch him warm up. He couldn't believe what he was saying. And I thought, this is fascinating. And that's what a great player who will be the face of the league will do. They have that ability to capture the imagination of a novice and an expert, a subject matter expert like Scott. And everyone can look at the game and go, I respect that. That to me is the difficult thing to do when you're talking about being the face of any sport.
You're watching that person's every move from the time they walk on the court just to warm up.
Right.
How they go sit down over on the bench and, you know, interact with teammates when they're in the game, out of the game. Just every little thing you're trying to capture. I had a quick question for both of you. Because when you talk about faces of the league, let's do a little quick history test. How many when you're talking about singular faces, now there's been a group of guys, maybe, but that you would say have been the face of the NBA at one point in time?
I don't think it's been that many because you got to dominate your era.
Right.
Would you say
Bill Russell was one?
Yes, he dominated his era.
Would you say that Wilt Chamberlain was one?
Yes, he dominated his era.
Would you say Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was one?
Yes, he dominated his era.
Would you say Larry Bird was one?
Yes, he dominated.
But Bird and Magic come together. Magic. Like whenever you
right,
say,
yeah, Bird, yeah, but I, but that's unique. That's too. Unique thing there.
In a team sport, because it was team sport. You're saying,
yeah,
you. But when you look at, they won eight championships alone between the both of them in a decade.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was that. They just happened to come on at the same time.
Absolutely,
but they both were. I would dominant. Say equal faces of the league.
They dominated.
And,
their
I mean, they basically people, you know, historians will say, it'll be written that they really saved the NBA because the NBA was really
dominant. They were both dominant in their era.
All right, was Dr. J ever the face of the NBA?
I would say yes. I would say yes because of he dominated the ABA, and he came in and he dominated. You know, he won a championship, and he won a championship in the 80s.
Okay.
Okay. I would say Dr. J, yes.
Okay, I'm saying, okay. Then we obviously go to Michael's era. Yes. You know, let's go back to Jerry West. He's the logo, so you got to put him in there, right?
Yes. Yes.
Jerry West is the logo. Let's look at Mo. I got a reaction out of him, but the man has been made the logo.
No, I'm not disputing that. But if you're saying who's been a standalone face, it means you can only pick one player per era. You've already said Bill Russell, and you've already said Will, and now we're going to throw Jerry West in the mix as well.
Well,
they might be the guy.
But the face, sometimes a guy could be the face of the league for maybe a 4 or 5 year run. Maybe it's a 15-year run. Like LeBron has been the face of the league for a long time now.
Yeah.
Since Kobe, you know, God rest his soul, the late, great Kobe Bryant. Has there been anybody else in this era between Kobe and LeBron?
Steph Curry.
Would you say Steph Curry is the face of the league now? Is the face of the league?
But that stretch where the Warriors win the finals every year, 100%. Because the impact that Steph Curry had on basketball around the world, like, I never thought in my life I'd see so many kids wearing Under Armour shoes. Do you know how iconic you have to be to get people to wear Under Armour? Do you know what I mean? Like, well, his impact was huge. I'd have non-basketball fans coming up to me and asking me about this Steph Curry guy who just shoots all these threes. So I think Steph Curry's there.
I will say this. I'm going to say this. And listen, Steph Curry is Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. But I will say this. You know, we've seen these players, you know, Isaiah Thomas.
Okay. Yeah.
And we've seen Allen Iverson. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Iverson and Shaq were the two I was going to ask you about.
Allen Iverson's impact, cultural impact, still every player today, the way they dress and all of those things, we have to start there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do I think players have benefited from that? Well, you got to start there because Allen Iverson, Isaiah Thomas was the first version of Allen Iverson, in my opinion. But we didn't allow him to just run around and score. He still had the responsibility of running the team. He had to defend. By the way, that was one arguably the greatest defensive team.
Yes.
And then he had to score and manage the game and all of the other things. Mm-hmm. Allen Iverson took a different path where he was scoring. He was literally a six foot, maybe, two guard that didn't manage or do the other parts of the game that traditionally a smaller player had to do.
Right.
Mo, you've heard it. Steph Curry is playing in another era where now they are combo guards of some sort that are playing the game a different way, which I admire the way they're playing in today's game. So every player has their, every era, every generation has their iteration of what this looks like.
Right.
Of what it looks like, what it feels like. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but we certainly can't say Tim Duncan, who won the most games in
any era. What I was going to say. It's not just about dominating.
He dominated. Tim Duncan won the most games. Yeah, but he was never
the face of the league.
That's again. I said it again. You must capture the imagination, the fans. Tim Duncan won more games in any era. He should be the greatest player. He won the most games. He won the most games. What do you mean?
Yeah. But we talk about the face of the league, right? It's okay, not talking about just purely.
Well, in sports, the only thing we can really say is, what's your impact of winning? Here it is. Tim Duncan won more games than any player that's ever played the game.
But there's more to it, right? Let's go back to the conversation we've had about track more athletics.
Let's add more to it.
Usain Bolt wins the Olympic medal, and he has the charisma. He has the showboating, and everyone loves him. Trey Lyles wins, and everyone thinks he's a corny loser.
Bo, that's
it's
subjective.
Not just winning. Usain Bolt won the gold medal. They both won but Usain Bolt is still the face of sprinting. Even though he don't sprint no more.
That's the media. Again, that's the media. Everyone has their opinion.
What are you talking about? Because we're talking about the face of the league. That is the media.
That's fine. If you want to believe that, that's your opinion. Everyone has an opinion.
What is the face of the league then?
The face of the league is winning. That's the bottom line. The bottom line is
Says Jerry West, why is Jerry West included if it's about winning?
Because Jerry West impacted the game of what he did in that era.
But he lost in the finals losing.
He lost to the finals.
So it's not about winning.
In professional sports, we acknowledge the following. There can only be one winner. And do you have the ability, when you're putting together a team, roster construction, to get to the conference finals? Check, check. He just happened to be playing against a guy that was better. Just like people say, well, he doesn't have a chip, Charles Barkley. He just happened to run against a guy named Michael Jordan, Karl Malone. These players are so elite. That's why the argument of saying what you didn't do. No, Karl Malone was a phenomenal player.
But never the face of the league. Neither was Charles Barkley.
Okay, they're getting, no. but they're, but Mo, the reason they're not the face of the league is because Mo, you're talking about something that's so rare.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. They can, if as Scott said at the very start, there can only be one in a era, right? So if we there take Bill Russell,
than, Mo, there can be more than one in an era. We talk about Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. There can be more than one.
And we sat here 5 minutes ago discussing how that was a unique experience, of a unique situation of them two coming through together.
Russell and Chamberlain,
one of them did all the winning.
And then I guess, you know, you could go Oscar and Jerry West.
Yes.
They played at the same time.
Yes.
That's what, you know, can't, that was the two.
You can't have one without the other. You, especially in team sports.
So you can't have one without the other. You can't be the face of the league. Because,
you can't be. How are you going to be the face of the league if there's no one to challenge you?
No. But you, if you can't have one without the other, you can't be the face of the league without winning, is what you're saying. If you can't have one without the other. The guys who don't win a lot can't be in these conversations. Charles Barkley can't be in the conversation. Karl Malone can't be in the conversation. And it's no disrespect to them.
No, I hear you. What you're saying is, okay, in a point in time, whether it's a season, 10 seasons, whatever the case may be, this guy stood alone above the rest, is what you're saying, right?
My thing for face of the league is... my thing with face of the league is when I talk to people who aren't basketball fans, mm-hmm. and I mention anything about the NBA, what's the first thing they say? Right now, they still say LeBron.
LeBron James, Curry. Of course. Mm-hmm.
And before that, they would say Kobe. And before mm-hmm. that, they would say Shaq. And before that, they would say Michael Jordan. And mm-hmm. I'm not disputing there's other great players in at any time.
That's
why I'm saying Tim Duncan's not in the face of the league thing, is because no one ever... in my lifetime, and I've grown up in the 2000s, and I've spoke to people at the NBA, no one has ever had Tim Duncan be the first name that pops into their head, as great as he was,
you didn't know me. You didn't know me.
Being the face of the league isn't about being known amongst people in the league.
Anyone who's followed the NBA would say, well, where's this guy been for the last 20 years? The guy only won the most games ever in the history of the NBA over his 19-year career.
No, but this is what I'm saying.
If you get your information from the media, the face of the league
isn't about who people in the league know.
The guy wins 5 out of 6 championships. That's the face of the league. No one is more celebrated than winning. If you want to say marketing of the league,
you can't have it both ways and say Tim Duncan was the face of the league and then say Jerry West and Karl Malone and Charles.
San Antonio Spurs not only are the face of the league, their impact in the league goes well beyond him just playing. Every probably team in the league has someone from San Antonio in it as we speak.
But that's impact. That's nothing to do with the face of the NBA, which is the conversation at hand.
The face? This guy right now, we're talking about load management right now because of those teams.
Okay, but that's not anything to do with the face of the league. The face of something means that you are the first person associated with said thing for people who have no knowledge about this situation.
How many times have we heard the San Antonio way, Scott? Just how many times?
Are absorbed with the NBA. Our opinions here are irrelevant because
it's San Antonio's way. Like people always talk about the Patriot way, you know, in the NFL and all that. I get all that. What Mo is saying, I mean, not to put words in your mouth, but I get. And when I'm thinking of the face of the league, if we went to a non-basketball person randomly in this country, in the U.S. somewhere, or outside this country for that matter, doesn't matter, and say, are you a basketball fan? No. What do you know about basketball? What do you know about the NBA? Oh, I heard about this guy, Michael Jordan.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Magic Johnson, mm-hmm. Larry Bird. That's where they transcended. Look, people in basketball know the importance of a number of these players that we're talking about, starting with Tim Duncan and what he meant during that era and the dominance that he led that organization through. And Tim Duncan is responsible not only for – you know, Greg Popovich's success, but so many other coaches and front office people who get
the guy dominated his entire era.
Yeah, he did. There's no question. There's no question about it. But as you know, like you said, when you face, all right, when that guy came to your town, did the San Antonio Spurs always sell out your building? See, because when the league talks about the face, again, they're talking about who's generating the revenue. Or when that team was put on national television, is that the highest rated games?
Yeah, my thing is,
Tim Duncan didn't do that part, you know, didn't take anything away from his game or his greatness. But obviously when you talk face of the, it's
a subjective thing.
It's a very subjective.
Yeah, but I would look at it from the international perspective of more people around the world know Shaq than Tim Duncan. More people around the world know Allen Iverson than Tim Duncan, despite how great Tim Duncan was and all the winning that he did.
I don't disagree with that.
We're talking about the face of something means being the most well-known. If you say
what we're saying, just popularity. If you say popularity,
that's exactly what we're talking about.
Okay, if you're saying popularity, which is the business of that, which is the top line, who puts people in the seats?
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Okay,
yeah.
But again, we had a discussion. I don't know, a couple weeks ago, where we said, "What does a max player look like?" Mm-hmm. And I said, I have two criteria. He must affect the bottom line, winning, and he must affect the top line, put people in the seats.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So in terms. He must affect the basketball business and the business of basketball.
We know.
End of discussion. End of discussion. Like, you can, however you want to slice it or dice it. Tim Duncan, if he's on the board, you better take him. Why? He affects your bottom line.
Okay. But if you're in, if you are in New York, right? Mm-hmm. And the Lakers are playing the Nets and you get to see Kobe, and the Spurs are playing the Knicks and you get to see Tim Duncan. You're buying the tickets to go see Kobe Bryant play.
Okay.
If you're not a fan of any of those teams.
Okay. You get one game, and then I'll get those 16 wins in the playoffs. So the business, I'm going to win the business game.
Yeah, you will. You will. But I'm talking about the face of it as widespread. You know, those people who will only go to one NBA game in their life, who they want to go see.
Check. You got the popular vote. You get your one night.
Tim Duncan was an anomaly in that he probably, for all his accomplishments, he's the most understated player maybe in the history of the game in terms of what you guys are talking about, what we're talking about here in terms of popularity and notoriety and, you know.
But out of respect to the game, we better make sure that Tim Duncan's name is up there on Mount Rushmore.
Oh, no, I'm not doubting that.
Out of respect to the game. I get it. Popularity. Okay, we want to talk about popularity. Let's talk about popularity. But he beat all of those players that you named in his era. He beat them all.
I didn't say he didn't. I'm saying that's not the conversation at hand. We're not talking about who was the greatest. We're not talking about who's the best. We're talking about being the face of the NBA.
Which is a popular opinion.
Yes, and that's what the conversation was
maybe about. What we're doing as, which is different. We're not here for the popular vote. We're here to tell it like it is. Real name, no gimmicks. This is no gimmicks here. We from the streets of Detroit. We not from Detroit, the Detroit Free Press or the Detroit. No, we got to give it to you what the people really want. You can only get that here. And then it's the people's job to research it and say, oh, these guys were doing the same thing. You just didn't see it. Scott Perry and I were privileged to see a man named George Gervin, who told us, I got a shot for every occasion. Y'all think this generation can score. Y'all think this generation got skill. I saw a man who was doing this in the 70s when we didn't even know what it was. Okay. This man was scoring points like no one has ever seen. And arguably today's best scorer, Kevin Durant, will tell you who he looked up to.
Oh, there's no question.
Scott Perry drafted him. Scott, tell him what Kevin Durant. You can only get this here, Mo. You can't get this in the online. Tell him, Scott.
When we drafted Kevin, in Seattle early in the season, and the NBA, you know, had this program where they trying to match former players to current players, like a mentorship program. And I knew George Gervin a little bit, you know, and talked to the NBA. So long story short, George plans a trip out because people saw some similarities, Kevin Durant of George Gervin in Kevin Durant. So he comes out to Seattle for lunch. And Jeff Green was our other rookie there too. And so the three of us go to lunch. Me, George Gervin, Kevin Durant, Jeff Green. Now you gotta know Kevin as a rookie. Great. Kevin was like my little brother. Kevin, it was hard for him to sit still. He just wanted to be in the gym shooting most all the times. If you with him, you go out and eat with him. You know how guys used to have those little sidekick phones you play with and all like that. Kevin would always be on his phone with when you go out. But great dude, great dude. But we go to lunch with George. We had a lunch that lasted 3.5 hours. Kevin Durant, I don't even know what happened to that sidekick phone. He put it away. And he and Jeff Green, and they sat there. We all sit in the conversation, but they listened to George for that 3.5 hours, man. It was unbelievable. And it was just like, Kevin was like a human sponge, just taking it all in. And George was just dropping so much knowledge about, you know, what you need to do to work, you know, work on your game, to go scoring. And George is such a great guy. He said to both of them, and I think they eventually went down and visited George at his ranch down in San Antonio, said, "Hey, man, anytime, I'm here. I'm arm's length away. Just call on me." But yeah. I know that was very impactful for Kevin. Now,
I will say this. That's ice. Mm-hmm. We were privileged to be around this level of excellence. Okay. We've seen guys who can really score in this league. I'm going to challenge everyone that's listening today. Go look up World Be Free. Go look up Andrew Tony.
Tony. Yeah, that's what I was ready
now, for that one. Trust me on this one, ladies and gentlemen. There's been a lot of players that have come through here that can score that basketball.
Yeah.
As Ice told us. The name of the game is to move that scoreboard.
And they were moving the scoreboard when you could really physically hand check somebody.
Mo,
40 feet away from the basket.
You know how today's player they're more physical. Offensive players are more physical than the defensive players today. Well, that wasn't always the case. So I'm going to say this because we could go on and on. But what I tell you, it's a beautiful game. It's a beautiful game. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful game. And I'm going to appreciate every aspect of it. I'm going to appreciate this generation. But I can tell you this. Go check World Be Free and all these guys. Andrew Tony. And Mo, you would appreciate his nickname. The Boston Strangler.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mo, there's been a lot of phenomenal players. And don't disrespect the game, Mo. And we're here to uphold that. And I would love for us to get some of these guys because, Mo, they're phenomenal players.
See, and that's what makes it difficult when you start comparing eras because the rules are so much different.
Yes.
It would be easier to compare, a little easier to compare, I'll put it that way. I won't say it just easy, but a little easier to compare if there was still hand checking in the game and that same physical level.
Man, I gotta go, man, because Scott, you're gonna keep going.
Subscribe to the show. You just follow Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. We'll be back. We're taking a little break for the rest of the week. We'll be back on Monday.
That's too much. Parking lot Perry. That's his own series. That's the parking lot series. If the people demand it, Scott will expand it.
Exactly.
Man, I'm rhyming right now.
appreciate y'all. Real names, no gimmicks. I don't know where he been, but you know what? That was, hey, I appreciate y'all for that show.
We got a lot more basketball to discuss. We'll be back on Monday. So don't miss an episode. Subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. And until next time, like any of the players buckets listed on today's show, tell them what to do, Scott.
Get buckets.
Oh,
just get buckets. Just do it. Exactly.